We seek happiness, all of us, all the time. It's our nature. Ask anyone, anywhere, what is happiness? It's not hard to define. Family, friends, love, good health, security, a world at peace, the time and freedom to enjoy life's pleasures. In what we want, we're all very much alike. But how long does this happiness last for which we sacrifice so much? A few moments? A few hours? Maybe a few days? Then it's gone.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
John F. Kennedy must have known happiness. Born to fortune, good looks, and keen intelligence, he rose to the most powerful political office on earth. But suddenly, this hero to millions was lost. Japan, an enchanted and ancient land whose majestic mountains and peaceful countryside have inspired poetry, music, and the arts. People here enjoy one of the highest per capita incomes of any country on earth. Japan's national economy and its technological industry are among the strongest in the world. Then one morning, the earth shakes, and this edifice of culture and technology crumbles like a house of cards. The United Nations, for more than 50 years, world leaders, among them some of history's most brilliant philosophers and humanitarians, have labored here to create an environment in which the peoples of the world can live in peace. Despite their sincere labor, hostilities rage on every continent of the globe. In that half century of working for peace, the world has not known one minute free from war and bloodshed. We seek good health. And in recent years, medical science has conquered diseases that had plagued humanity for centuries. But despite these advances, we are threatened by disease today as much as at any time in our history. Cancer, AIDS, heart disease have no regard for nationality, race, or culture.
My daughter was 2 days old, and the doctor told me that her main arteries were the wrong way around and that she needed heart surgery. As it was, I was exhausted after the birth, and so when he told me this, I couldn't believe it. My baby was in an incubator for 5 months, and she had wires and tubes connected to her, and it was just so hard to watch that.
We want to stay young, energetic, and beautiful. But time passes swiftly, and we grow old. Over the centuries, humans have toiled relentlessly to improve the conditions of life. As a result, this moment is the most technologically advanced in the history of humanity. The changes have been nothing short of breathtaking. We communicate faster, travel more widely, and produce a greater variety of products than at any other time in the history of our planet. Change is the moment-to-moment principle by which we live. Only four conditions have remained unchanged. Birth, disease, old age, and death. No one is exempt. Not one German, American, African, or Indian. These four conditions wipe out the advantages of all our progress with merciless efficiency. Forced to suffer when all I want is happiness? What is life meant for? Where do I come from? Where was I before my birth? Where will I go after my death? Who am I?
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyaja
The Vedic scriptures, the oldest books of wisdom, offer insight into life's most profound mysteries. These ancient texts direct us to shift attention from the temporary to the permanent, from matter to spirit, from the body to the soul. Ignorance of our spiritual nature and false identification with our body is the root cause of all suffering in this world. Our endless endeavors to gratify the senses can never fulfill the spirit soul, for the soul is not of this world. The Vedas enlighten us about our spiritual nature. They also describe ways to achieve true lasting happiness by reviving our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. One method is dhyana, or meditation. This requires that one renounce family, home, and comforts, go to a solitary place in the forest, and perform severe austerities for many years. Yajna, or sacrifice, is another method. This requires elaborate offerings into a sacrificial fire, according to exacting rituals and accurate chanting of Vedic mantras by highly qualified brahmanas. Jnana, enlightenment through cultivation of knowledge, requires years of study in Sanskrit language, grammar, and logic before one can understand complex Vedanta philosophy. Meditation, sacrifice, cultivation of knowledge. How practical are these for a contemporary world which places so many demands on us? These methods were recommended in previous yugas, when life was simpler and more conducive to contemplation and spiritual practice. The Vedas state, there is a method just suited to our world and time. Sankirtana, chanting the holy names of God. One need not be a scholar in the Vedas or Sanskrit to derive the benefits of chanting the holy names of God. This process can be performed by anyone, anywhere, at any time. Innumerable scriptures have glorified chanting the holy names of God as the process recommended for this age.
Kalir dosha nidhe rajan asti heko mahan gunaha.
Although Kali Yuga is full of faults, it provides one remarkable opportunity. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the spiritual kingdom. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of Hari.
Yayan prite yajan yajnaihi sretayam dvaparirchayan.
Whatever is achieved by meditation in Satya Yuga, by performance of sacrifice in Treta Yuga, or by elaborate temple worship in Dwapara Yuga, is also obtained in the age of Kali simply by chanting and glorifying Lord Keshav.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The Hare Krishna mantra, composed of 16 names, is the only means to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. In all the Vedas, it is revealed that to cross the ocean of ignorance, there is no alternative to the chanting of these holy names. Many other great religious traditions of the world also advise their followers to chant the holy names of God. Such is the potency of chanting that it is effective for all, irrespective of age, background, caste, or creed. Thousands of years ago, there lived a brahmana, Ajamila, and his chaste wife. Every day he performed his rituals, rising early in the morning, worshipping his deities, performing sacrifices and austerities. One day, when he was in the forest collecting fruits and flowers, he came upon a young man embracing a prostitute in a secluded thicket. They seemed intoxicated. They were singing and smiling. Young Ajamila had never seen such behavior before. He was disturbed, perplexed, and aroused. Lustful thoughts flooded his mind. He tried to control them, but the force of his desire was overpowering. Ajamila lost all good sense. He sought out the prostitute, and his infatuation quickly turned to blind attachment. He deserted his wife and aged parents and spent lavishly on the prostitute. Ajamila's Brahminical vows lost all meaning in the flood of his sensual awakening. To satisfy his base desires, he started gambling, cheating, and plundering, transgressing every law, civil and divine. Years passed swiftly. The woman bore him many children. He was especially attached to his youngest son, Narayana, and constantly called out his name. As he watched his dearest son grow and blossom, old Ajamila did not realize that his own time was coming to an end.
Ajamina, we have come for you.
Who are you?
We are Yamadusas, here to take you to the kingdom of our master. Come alive.
No, I am a Brahmana. No, I have fire spirit. I have been a good father. I am... Wait! I'll tell you! Narayana, come here! Narayana! Oh, please! My son! Narayana! Narayana!
Stop! Stop! You shall not take away Ajamila. You have no right over his soul. Leave him and go.
Who are you? Who is your master? How can you stop us from taking this sinful man?
We are the order carriers of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. We are Vishnu Buddhas.
We have come to stop you from claiming this man's soul.
This Ajamila has committed unlimited sins. He abandoned his chaste wife and took up with a prostitute.
He became a drunkard, a gambler, a thief. This wretch belongs to us.
He should go with us.
He has chanted the holy name of Narayana in the time of death, in a helpless state of mind.
By this, he has atoned for all his sinful actions, not only of this life, but also of previous lives, and is now free.
This is the glory of chanting the holy name.
Chanting the holy name?
As fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of Narayana burns to ashes all the consequences of sinful life.
But he did not call out for Lord Narayana. He only called his son.
No matter. The power of the holy name of the Lord does not depend on one's understanding.
It is like medicine which counteracts disease. It makes no difference if the patient knows medical science or not. Medicine will act.
Well, we don't know what to say. This has never happened to us before.
We must consult our master, Yamaraj. This can't be.
Ajamila, you have been saved from the hands of death and have been given a second chance. Now, give up your sinful ways. Go to the holy place called Haridwar and sincerely worship Lord Narayana by chanting his holy names.
All good fortune to you, Ajamila.
This truth about the power and authenticity of the holy names was re-established 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Born in Mayapur on the banks of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at a time in India when the caste system had crippled the true meaning of spirituality. He ignored all kinds of dogmatic rituals and transcended the restrictions of the hereditary caste system by offering everyone the means for complete spiritual enlightenment. He inaugurated on a grand scale the Sankirtana movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names. The teachings were passed down from generation to generation, and the chanting of God's names always remained the unchanging and foremost instruction. Coming in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On the order of his spiritual master, he left India in 1965 at the advanced age of 70 to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Arriving in New York City, he had no money or support, but his devotion to Guru and Krishna and his faith in the holy names were strong. In 10 short years, Srila Prabhupada traversed the globe 14 times, established 108 Krishna temples, and authored more than 70 volumes on the science of Krishna consciousness. He met people from all walks of life and urged everyone to take up the process of chanting Krishna's holy name.
This transcendental vibration by chanting of Hare Krishna is the sublime method for reviving our Krishna consciousness. The chanting is exactly like genuine cry by the child for mother. Mother Hara helps in achieving the grace of the Supreme Father Hari or Krishna, and the Lord reveals himself to such sincere devotee. No other means, therefore, of spiritual realization is as effective in this age as chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Today, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that Srila Prabhupada founded in 1965 has over 400 centers around the world. Hundreds of thousands of devotees of different nationalities, background and color practice Krishna consciousness in ISKCON temples around the world. The practice of Krishna consciousness is not restricted to those who live in temples alone. an even greater number of people worldwide, engaged in their professions, living in their homes with their families, practice the principles of Krishna consciousness. Joshua Green, a film producer and director, practices Krishna consciousness at home.
The most remarkable thing that Srila Prabhupada did by coming to the West was to provide people with the spiritual tools for going on, a reason to go on. It's a very discouraging place, the material world. What Prabhupada did was to equip people with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, with the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, with some very simple principles about how to lead a happy and healthy life, and give people the ground rules for living spiritually.
Dr. Sharmila Gupta attends to her hospital duties all day long. Despite her demanding schedule, she still finds time to chant Hare Krishna.
About 6 years ago, I visited the ISKCON temple in Juhu, Bombay. I was impressed by the dedication of the devotees, but I was sad that I could not be part of them. One of the devotees told me that Krishna does not care about how you look, what your hairstyle is. What he cares about is what is in your heart. I found that very reassuring. Now my husband and my children, we practice Krishna consciousness at home. The chanting is so empowering that you can face any of life's difficulties with a positive frame of mind.
Lawrence Garrett, New York City subway conductor, also chants Hare Krishna in his spare time.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, you know, Hare Nam as the recommended process for this age for attaining perfection in spiritual life. So by actually coming together in a congregation of devotees and chanting together, you actually are able to go beyond the bodily concept, so to speak. It kind of transcends, well, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. You're actually on an equal platform, all being servants of Krishna.
Millions of people all over the world practice Krishna consciousness at home while pursuing their professions and living with their families.
The purpose of the Hare Krishna movement is to make all people happy, to free everyone from material suffering and anxiety. We are teaching people from all walks of life how to achieve perfection by chanting Hare Krishna at home. Sri Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada are offering this blessing to all. You and your family can also chant Hare Krishna and become qualified to enter the kingdom of God. Goloka Vrindavana, please chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Beyond this material world, beyond this physical dimension, beyond mundane space and time, inaccessible to our limited senses and mind, even beyond the impersonal, unmanifest Brahman, is the personal abode of Sri Krishna. In this exquisite spiritual realm, untouched by the miseries of the material world, pure souls engage in loving devotional service to Sri Krishna.
Thank you.
Here, every word is a song, every step a dance. For those who have had a glimpse of Krishna's abode, the highest pleasures of this world pale to insignificance. This is the original home of all living beings, the goal of the search for happiness, the unique and sublime contribution of the Vedas to the quest for perfection is here, in this revelation of what lies beyond the material universe. In all the Vedic texts, in the teachings of all the great acharyas, Sri Krishna invites us back home, back to Godhead.